Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you are here with me, and we are shifting in this audio from talking about concepts and principles that really matter in building relationships, and we're going to shift into the how. How do we build these relationships? And my goal here is to keep this as simple and succinct as possible so that you can leave here with tangible things to try and return to when you feel the strain in your relationships. Because relationships will have moments of ebb and flow. We will have those moments where we're really feeling like we're in a good, solid place. And without much warning, we can feel that strain enter and create some difficulty for us. So as we dive in, one of the first things I want to encourage you to do when it comes to building relationships with your family members is take advantage of what is already there. And take advantage of what you already know about your child and their personality, things that I am unaware of. You have such an immense knowledge base of your child, and I really would like to invite you to tap into that and use all of this beautiful wisdom that you have collected over the years to your advantage. Don't ever feel like a suggestion that I offer has to be done just perfectly to be effective. I think to be most effective, take the idea and the action item that I am presenting and make it your own. Make sure it fits your personality and is authentic. Now, having said that, that does not open the door for things like sarcasm or tough love and constructive criticism. Those may have a place somewhere else, but when it comes to relationship building, sarcasm really is harmful. So be mindful of that and do not let that in, even if that is your personality. So there are my caveats. But one of the things each one of us has is a daily greeting. And if for some reason you don't have a daily greeting with your child, then I'm going to ask you to look for ways to connect this. If you are in a split household or your work schedule is such that you're not there for the comings and goings, or maybe you have a long distance relationship with your child because of some demands on your family, look for a way to make this happen. Every time we walk through the door of our home, or our child walks through the door of our home, we have the opportunity to greet them. Each morning when they wake up, when they enter a new room, we have a chance to greet them. It's already happening, and it's happening in one of a couple ways. Either we aren't really acknowledging one another, and we're just kind of ignoring each other. We're passing by one another with a brief, hey, and I often hear it describes of ships passing, you know. But we're not really connecting. And the third option or maybe we're grumpy with one another in those greeting places. Or maybe we're even a little bit grumpy with each other and we see those moments as a chance to catch up on what needs to be done, check in on if homework is happening, did you do your chores? And it becomes all about business. When time is limited, I know it's tempting and easy to fall into those patterns, but what I'm going to challenge you to do is use those greeting points to your advantage. They're already existing. You don't have to do anything to create them. They're there. It's an easy, easy win. So my invitation is to look up from whatever you're doing. And I realize this is not going to be 100% of the time, but look up from what you're doing. Make eye contact and greet your child with a joyful expression and tone. Hey, good to see you. Oh, I'm so glad you're home. Love you. Hey, I didn't know you were in here. I love seeing your face. It can be simple and brief, and it doesn't even have to be verbal. Let's just say we're moving from the kitchen to the living room and we walk in and a child is sitting on the couch. We can just say, hey, love ya. And scratch their head or tickle their back. But walk by, and whenever you are passing them or entering this space for a first time, acknowledge with a bright and joyful expression. We want them to know that we see them, that they matter to us, and that they are on our radar. So even when we leave, it can be helpful to do the same thing when we're leaving the house. A courteous, hey, taking off. Hope you have a great day. Hey, I'll see you in a couple hours. I'm heading out the door. And just take advantage of that natural transition to see and communicate with your people. One area where I have seen crazy impact in this small effort is when my children's friends come in and out of our home. We have a pretty open door policy. My kids are older and their friends know that they're welcome here and they can come on in and say hello. And so in particular, there's a core group of kids who really just come and go. What has impressed me is how much that initial greeting means to them and how their faces light up and how they respond. Now, of course, we're not perfect at it, but we do make an effort. When someone walks through the door, we stop and say, hey, look who's here. It's so-and-so. We're so glad to have you. Hey, come on in. It's been a while. Good to see your face. Ah, look who's here. And when possible and appropriate, I will often greet them with a hug because that is, if it's been a while, I'm excited to see them. And even if it feels a little bit inconvenient for me, or it feels like, oh shoot, are we having friends right now? I am really intentional in greeting them in a welcoming way because I have seen the long-term impact. I have seen how it opens the door for further relationship development. They're not stuck in an insecure place of wondering if they're welcome in our home. They know they can come here. They know that this is a place where they are welcome and we love them. And that has been really fun to see develop over the years across a lot of different kids from a lot of different peer groups. So use those initial greetings to your advantage. Another area that we can pay attention to is how we respond when our kids come to us with information. Now, kids are often coming to us with stories or events of the day or even requests for information, and they're giving us background. So when a kiddo comes to us and they have something to tell us, whether it's significant or not, we have a tendency to respond in one of a few ways. And I actually heard this in a class that I took recently, and I cannot source it accurately for you. I learned it from Justin Sua, and he had learned it from someone else, and I do not remember their name. So I apologize for that, but I thought it was definitely worth including here for you. We have a tendency to respond in one of four ways when our children bring us information, and only one of them builds the relationship. So get curious, and before you change anything, after hearing this, I just want you to listen and pay attention to how you naturally respond, because you'll know then if you need to make an adjustment. But the four ways we respond are: we either ignore it, so they come and they tell us something and it doesn't even register and we don't give them a response or much of a response. Maybe we give them an, oh, great, and then we move on and we so, you know, it's hard because sometimes we don't even hear the content and we're distracted, but it comes across as you're ignoring me. That does not build our relationship. Another one is we become one-uppers. They share something with us and we respond with something else like, oh, hey, did you hear this cool thing? Or the coolest thing happened at school. I was doing this and I got a 7 out of 10 on my, you know, whatever assignment. And you're like, a 7 out of 10? Well, geez, you know, when I did that, or when I was young, we would, and we have a tendency to unconsciously one-up our kids. And one-upping can show up in some funny ways. It can even be if our kids are sharing something that's happened that was hard for them, or they're complaining about a teacher, we say, oh, well, at least you don't have to, or, oh, that's hard. We say, oh, you think that's hard? Just wait till you're an adult. Oh, you think that professor's tough? When I was in college, I had a professor who, or, oh, you think that friend was mean? Well, my brother, he used to, and we dismiss what's being shared and we share an experience of ours in a way that one-ups. not going to build a relationship with our kiddo doing that. Number three, we respond by being a joy thief. What in the world is a joy thief? Come on, guys, you've all had them in your life. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I had this great idea. I'm going to build this. Let me use an example. A joy thief. I have a child who came home the other day and they were so excited about a potential project. They wanted to build a forge in our backyard and melt metal. And they had been, and now this is obviously an older kid, they had been on YouTube and learned the process and they knew they could do it. Well, guys, I'm a mom. Give me some credit for a minute. What do you think went through my head when they said, I want to build a forge? Well, every safety concern in the world, the toxic fumes that would be entering the air, I had every horrible thing enter my mind in that very initial share. And what did I do? I said, you want to build a forge? Why would you do that? That's joy thief right there. And then I said, that's like crazy. That's dangerous. No, we're not going to do that. That's a joy thief. And then when he pressed on with his excitement, I said, well, what about all the fumes? Like you're going to have like all this cancer causing stuff in the air. And I don't want that around my house. Joy thief. Do you hear it? Well, that's not safe. I mean, you don't even know how to do that. Joy thief. It shows up so easy and so fast. Was I unreasonable in what I was saying? No, not necessarily. I was incredibly rational, I would dare say. But in that initial moment of sharing, is that also the necessary response? No, it doesn't. It steals the joy in the moment and it does not help build our relationships. There's one thing that we can do. We can be a joy multiplier and we can respond in a way that helps build a relationship when a child comes to us. So regardless of what their idea is, when they come to us, we get to choose. Are we going to ignore it? Are we going to one-up? Are we going to steal their joy? Or are we going to multiply their joy? We multiply their joy by asking questions and having active, constructive conversation with them. So in the example of the forge, or foundry, excuse me, in the example of building this little foundry, a joy multiplier would be, oh, wow, man, I don't know a thing about that. Tell me what you've learned. Hey, that sounds a little dangerous, but I'm sure you've thought, man, that sounds a little dangerous, but tell me more. Man, this is curious. Why does this sound fun to you? Those questions are all joy multipliers. They do not give the green light. They do not negate boundaries and safety and whether or not it actually gets to happen. That will come in subsequent conversations. But our first goal is to engage in conversation, let the kid know that we care and that they matter to us. That is one of our surest ways to build relationship with them. Don't kill the joy, but be a multiplier. Now, what if you don't even care about the topic that they're sharing with you? Well, it's highly possible. Not very many parents care about the ins and outs of the Lego world like a kiddo does. It's okay. You do care about the person. You care about the human being in front of you. And so think of ways to engage, because while you may not be interested in the topic, you are interested in that person. And this is one way we can build relationships. What if they're sharing information that isn't good and you're concerned with? Then I would suggest, listen, get curious and gain all the information and understanding you can before you go in and criticize or redirect behavior. Hey, mom, I was playing in the backyard with my friends and we thought it would be really fun to dig a giant hole in the middle of the grass. You know, your bells and whistles are going off at that moment. And you're like, what the heck? You dug a hole in the middle of my grass? Are you serious? And you go tearing out there and get mad and say, you dug a hole in my grass? What were you thinking? What were you doing? That's not going to do anything. It's not going to fix the hole in your grass. It's not going to build the relationship with that child, and it's not going to help you stay calm. So whatever is coming at you, and the other thing it's not going to do, and this is really, really important, it's not going to set you up to become a receiver of valuable information down the road. So they will learn real quick if I choose something that maybe doesn't make my mom or dad happy, instead of telling them about that, I'm just going to avoid it or keep it from them. Which means when they're in trouble and need support or are in over their head, they likely won't be coming to us. So we've got to navigate that initial moment of receiving information. Lead with curiosity. You did what? You dug a hole in my grass. Oh, no, no, no. I have to hear more. Help me understand what you were thinking. What was your plan? All right. Okay. And after you've listened for a minute, feel free to circle back and say, so what's the plan for my grass? Do we have a plan? Can we talk about a plan? Why don't you come and show me what's going on? And then maybe even after walking out to the grass, you go, wow, that is quite a hole. I've got to hand it to you. That's a pretty big digging effort. Can we talk about how we're going to fix that hole? Have you thought about that yet? And enter in with a bit of intrigue and the desire to understand what's going on in their head. When we approach things in that way, we open the door and we communicate that we can be trusted with their life experiences, even when they're not so great, like a hole dug in the middle of our grass. Another option when you have some not so great news being shared with you that maybe they're even excited about and they don't even realize is bad news or something that you're not on board with, listen, ask questions, be present with them, then end the conversation. End it. Be done. Give yourself some space to think. Give yourself some space to calm down if you need to, and then circle back and engage again and say, okay, so have you really thought this through? I've had some thoughts and I'm curious if you have also. And we revisit and we strategize together. The final piece I would like to touch on today is how we are speaking to our children in general, not just when they come to us with information, but are we championing them? And what I mean by that is, are you expressing confidence in who they are, even in their imperfections, and confidence in what they are capable of overcoming and accomplishing? Championing is not, I know you could do it. Championing does not sound like, I know you can do it if you would just fill in the blank. That's a form of criticism. It also doesn't sound like, I know you could. I know you could figure this out. You just have to. Championing does not sound like, if you would just X, Y, and Z, I know you could fill in the blank. Nope, that's not championing. That is criticism. It also doesn't sound like, you can totally do this. You just have to 1, 2, 3. And then I step in and tell them exactly what they need to do to be successful. That is actually sending the message opposite of what championing does. That is sending the underlying message unintentionally that I don't think they can figure it out and they need me to tell them how to figure it out. So let me tell you a secret. They know that you know. They know that you know. You've probably told them before. They watch you in your daily life. They likely look up to you. So they know that you are very capable. What we are trying to do when we build relationships with our kids is send the message to them that we believe they are capable. So telling them how to do things is not a form of championing. The other thing that championing is it's not empty, fluffy praise. Like, you're the best. You're so awesome. Woohoo! Good job. Now, praise has its place and it is effective initially, but in kids, particularly who struggle with confidence, we know from research that the impact and effectiveness of praise drops off very quickly, and that individual continues to struggle. As a matter of fact, it actually creates a sense of doubt and a lack of trust within them, because they're like, that wasn't that great, but you're telling me it's great because you don't know what else to say to me, so you're just saying that to make me feel better. So instead of empty praise, I want to give you some other options that allow us to champion our children and communicate to them that we believe in them and we love them right where they're at. So we do that by getting specific. Instead of, and like I said, we're always going to use blanket phrases like good job, great job. That's not a problem, but we want to make sure that we're also willing to get very specific. Think about it this way. If you really look up to someone, whether it's a professional athlete or an author or artist who is just really good at their craft, and someone asked you, why do you like this person or why do you consider them to be a champion? My guess is you would be able to give some specific reasons. You would be able to, let's use a basketball player, for example, you would be able to identify their shot percentage, their rebound percentage, maybe what they do at the free throw line, and maybe you've heard how they are as a team player, and you would be able to dive into a specific conversation about that particular champion. What I'm asking you to do is be willing to learn enough about your child and be on the lookout for specific examples that allows you to have that type of credibility and conversation regarding them. So speak in specifics when it comes to encouraging your child. And this is really the difference between praise and encouragement. But speak in specifics, focus on effort and process instead of outcome. So that would sound like, man, I bet you worked hard on that. I can tell you really put in some time. And if you can't tell that they put in some time, guess what? Don't say it. Be genuine. When it comes to being specific, instead of saying, oh my gosh, good job on this test, you can say, hey, I see you got 4 out of 6 right. How does that feel? Hand it back over to them. See how they feel about it. There's something magical that happens in that process. When we ask them how they feel about something, we tend to get more information from them. And I'll come back to one of my favorite examples of that in a minute. But when we're talking about specific encouragement, what we are also trying to do is acknowledge things that we see and notice about that child without a lot of judgment or weight. So we're becoming observers and we're making statements without saying you're good or you're bad, like good job or bad job. Instead, it's, hey, I saw you help your brother. I saw you pick up that trash and get it in the trash can. Thank you. I'm noticing very specific acts that they participate in. And then we allow the child to determine how they feel about that. Coming back to, well, tell me what you think about it. How did you feel about it? Let me circle back to the example. I had a friend when our kids were much younger, and this child was asked to clean the bathroom one day, and they had a guest come over or something. And this guest went into the bathroom and used the bathroom and came out and started raving about the bathroom, how clean the bathroom was, how good the bathroom looked. And the mom was like, well, that's kind of random. She said, oh yeah, well, so-and-so was asked to clean the bathroom today. And so the guest turned to that child and was just really pouring on the praise. Oh, such a good job. You're such a hard worker. La, 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 la. And it was a little bit random, but then the guest left. And later, the kiddo came up to the mom and said, that was so dumb. I hadn't even cleaned the bathroom yet. I had just barely picked it up. And so all of this praise and compliment was being placed on the child, but it had no weight or meaning to the child because they knew their effort had not yet been invested. So it is helpful for us when a child presents us with some information or with some news or even a picture they've drawn and they say, look, look, instead of just saying, oh, good job, great, we can go, oh, hey, become an observer. I see the yellow and the blue colors. They are so bright. What do you love about this picture? What do you think about this picture? Instead of pouring on the praise about a bathroom that's been picked up, about being so clean and immaculate, if we must say something, we could come out and say, hey, it looks like somebody started to pick up that bathroom today. And this was obviously, I'm going to guess it was a family member. Instead of going on and on, we can say, oh, it looks like somebody was working hard in there, and leave it at that. And then the kid can say, oh yeah, I had just started picking up the bathroom and I was just doing my jobs for the day. And it becomes a more meaningful and authentic interaction. And that is what we are looking for. It also helps create kids who are willing to try and fosters a sense of self-sufficiency and independence. So when our kids don't have to worry about showing up to earn our praise or earn our affection, and they know that we recognize their effort, we know that we see them for more than what they do and how they perform, but just for who they are, that builds and strengthens relationships in a dynamic way. So when we can, let me give you three other examples as we wrap up. When we can walk into a room and we see a kiddo doing homework, we can just say, man, I am sure grateful you are my kid. Instead of commenting on their grades or commenting about whether or not their homework is done, we can just say, you know, I'm so glad you are my kiddo. I see you working hard over there, or I see you working over there. Don't put the label on it. Just, I see you working. It also might be, I see you working. That skill is going to be with you your whole life. So how we utilize our greeting space, how we listen and receive information from our kids, and how we communicate and recognize their efforts all have a strong impact upon the relationships which we have.